Well, happy Wednesday. It's hot out there. Praise the Lord for air-conditioned room. Amen. We're so blessed. Wow. Appreciate you dropping by on Wednesday, and pray God just blesses you good for being here. Thank you, worship team. And I hope you're having a good week. Sean. I'm going to finish up, and I'm going to leave about 5 minutes tonight, and I just feel like you may have some kind of testimony to share with us tonight. Take about 5 minutes and close in prayer after that, okay? How's that for being instant in season and out? Okay. Yeah, I want you guys to get to know Sean and Allison, and that's just on my heart, and so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm giving you a few minutes there to think about it, so... But thank you all for being here. Tonight I want to talk to you about walking in faith. Walking in faith. Most of us in the room, if not all of us, have come to a place in our life where we have trusted God with our eternal salvation. Right? I mean, there was a point in time you gave your life to Christ and your whole eternity before you, you decided that you would trust God's word with that. And you've staked your claim forever on that. And so I would just suggest to you perhaps tonight that a good line of reasoning to follow that up with, if we can trust God with our eternal salvation, then we ought to be able to trust Him with whatever's going on in our life right now. Whatever you're facing tonight, whatever adversity or difficulty or that you may be facing, whatever breakthrough that you're needing, whatever struggle you're needing to overcome. If you trust God with your eternal salvation, then certainly you can trust His Word to deal with what's right in front of you in this present moment. So I want to talk to you about walking in faith, because the faith that saves you is also the faith that sustains you. And we're going to see that tonight in the book of Colossians. I love Colossians, one of my favorite New Testament books. And I'm just pulling out a couple of verses out of chapter 2. Paul said to these Colossian believers, and he's talked to them a whole lot about not being deceived, and he gets into that deeper in chapter 2 about, because they were constantly, when these new congregations were being birthed and they're establishing them in Christ, and Paul and his team would go on, or whoever planted that church, inevitably there would be false teachers and other people that would come in and try to move them away from what they had received originally. You find that in the book of Galatians where Paul says, "Who's bewitched you that you should turn away from Jesus who was preached to you as crucified?" And he basically says, somebody's cast a spell on you that you would be removed from that. And in Colossians, he tells them, listen, don't be pulled into feeling like you need to be circumcised. You're circumcised in Christ now. And he covers a lot of territory. But in verse 6 in chapter 2, he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. There it is. Rooted and build up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, he goes on from there, but we're just going to give our attention tonight to these two verses. And so let's just begin there at the first. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As I said just a moment ago, living faith works the same as saving faith. You see that scripture? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, there was a time when those people had received Jesus Christ as Lord in their life. In John 1:12 and following, John in his gospel, he said, as many as received Him, speaking of Jesus, to them He gave the power, That's the Greek word exousia. It means the right or authority. As many as received Him, to them He gives the authority to become the children of God. So John's Gospel just makes it very clear to us that when we receive Christ, we are granted authority to relate to God as His children. Now, there's a generic sense in which all the people of the world are God's children. He's the Creator, right? But there's the specific sense of salvation where you become a child of God, right? As many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become the children of God. So, stay with me now. If you have to become a child of God, then before you become a child of God, you're not one. So there's a difference. When you receive Christ Jesus, you become a born-again, adopted in the family, son of God, child of God. And that's awesome. And so Paul is saying, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That is, the same way you exercise faith and belief in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you trusted Him to forgive you of your sins and save you, Paul says that's the way you live your life. So walk in Him. That word walk is a term in the New Testament that talks about your way of life, your lifestyle, your daily way of living. Just like you got saved, you placed your faith in Christ, day by day, you are trusting Him. You're entrusting your soul to Him. You're relying upon Him. You're depending on Him. That's what Paul is saying. So living faith works the same as saving faith. This faith, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by... You know, what you see, you can be fooled by that. But you're not going to be fooled by believing what God says. If you ever had to choose between what you're seeing and what God's saying, go with what God's saying. Because things are not always as they appear. We walk by faith, not by sight. Our trust is in the invisible God who manifested Himself to men through His Son, Jesus Christ. Our faith's in Him. We believe we receive strength from the spirit realm, from the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So we walk by faith, not by sight. It should inform all of our decisions. This is what sustains us in storms in our life. When in times of uncertainty, we can still be certain that God has not forsaken us, that God's Word is still true. Everything may be shaken around us. Heaven and earth may pass away, but He who does the will of God abides forever. The Word of God is settled forever in the heavens, the psalmist said. So, living faith works the same as saving faith. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace, instrumental, grace comes. When you place your faith in Christ, grace comes, the Holy Spirit regenerates you. You're adopted into the family of God. And that verse goes on to say that God has planned works ahead of time that you could walk them out in your life. So just like you trusted Jesus to save you day by day, you trust God in all your decisions. You lean on Him. You depend on Him because He's unshakable. He's your strong tower. He's your cleft in the rock. He's the rock on which we stand. Which brings us to the second thing I want you to notice. And that is, Jesus is the foundation of our faith. Notice what He said. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the focus of our salvation. He's the foundation of our salvation. The Bible is very clear in New Testament terms. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. If you study in Bible times, that cornerstone would be that huge, massive stone that they would put in place, and then that building would originate from that stone. Everything would rest on that stone, and it would be built from that point. He said, rooted and built up in Him. Peter uses the imagery that you and I are like living stones in a wall that are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and said, there is no other foundation than that which has been laid, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of the church. He's the head of the church. In the church, He's had to have supremacy in all things. He's all things by Him consist. Paul writes in his same book in Colossians. He's the glue that holds the galaxy together. All things were created by Him and for Him. And nothing that was made was not made except by Him. So, He's a big deal. He's the superstar. He's the Lord and Savior. He is the foundation of our faith. And as I mentioned here Sunday, there's a difference between religion and relationship. Religion is our human efforts trying to make our way to God. And there's all kinds of religions that have been invented by men to tell people this is the way you can reach God or know God or have favor from God. But Christianity is God reaching down to man, coming to man, and reconciling man to Himself and bringing man into relationship with Him. And no one knows the Father except through the Son. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus is the name above every name. So, He's the foundation of our faith. He's faith's object. Who did you trust to save you? Jesus. And this is one place in the Pauline epistles where he uses a definite article in referring to Jesus as Lord. He says, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Not just Lord Jesus Christ, definite article, the Lord. The Lord, it means ruler, honor, sovereign prince, the one to whom a person or thing belongs. Capital B-O-S-S, boss. He's Lord. So, you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, the Lord, therefore Lord of your life. And that's important, that our faith rests solidly on Him. His death, His burial, His resurrection, that's the gospel message, and that's the Christian life. And if we try to make it any other focus, we get an error, we get amiss. You never are going in the right direction when you minimize Jesus in any way whatsoever. So I love one of my former pastors, Dr. Adrian Rogers. He says, you know, good preaching will always make a beeline toward Jesus. You know, wherever you are in the Bible, make a beeline. And you know what a beeline is, don't you? Like a bee flying straight. Just a straight line to Jesus. That's the message of the Bible, that God came in human flesh in the fullness of time, in the form of a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So, it's interesting too, one other term before I move on to my next thing I want to share, is that Jesus is in terms of foundation, we're rooted, that's agricultural term, you know, your roots going down, you're grounded, you're rooted in Christ, but then it says in built up, that is a building term, like laying a foundation and building. So there's a sense in which our life is grounded and anchored in Him, and everything we do builds on that. And He's called the stone that the builders, isn't that interesting? The builders, and the ones that should have been the builders, the religious leaders that knew the Scriptures, that were the teachers, the one that should have been the builders that God would use to introduce His Son to the world and recognize Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He said, He's the stone the builders rejected. so he called a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and disciples. And then on the day of Pentecost, he birthed the people that would begin. And Paul talked about himself laying on the foundation. It's the foundation of Jesus and the apostles and the prophets, laying that foundation. And so that's what we do here as a congregation. We tell people about Jesus. They come to know Him. They begin to build their lives on Him. And we continue that work. We're part of His building crew now. The builders rejected Him in His day and age. But now we're heralding His name to all the nations. The third thing I want you to notice is that Christ-centered teaching is necessary for our growth in faith. Notice what Paul tells them. He said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. Preaching and teaching were God's idea. And, you know, to have the notion that, well, we don't need preaching, we don't need teaching longer, that's a notion foreign to Scripture. God has chosen, through the foolishness of preaching, to make the name of His Son famous in the world. And Paul's telling these Colossians, you know, somebody taught you. You were taught the foundational truths of Scripture. You were taught who Christ is. You were taught who you are in Him. And you're rooted and built up in Him. You have been taught. So all of us need to be taught. And I can think of the people who have influenced me because of their studying the Word and researching the Word and being able to sit under them and learn from them. And then we learn from one another. And that's the reason we have Bible study classes. That's the reason we have small groups that meet and discuss the Scripture, because God gives different people different revelation, and we can feed one another and we can help each other grow. We need teaching. We need good Christ-centered teaching, understanding that our faith is rooted and grounded in Him. You know, again, Jesus is a big deal. So important. It's about Jesus. It's about our relationship with Him. It's about exalting His name. And we wear His name with honor to be called a Christian. It's not just a generic term. It refers to a personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus the Lord. So Christ-centered teaching is necessary for our growth in the faith. And so you being here tonight under the teaching, that's important. Being in a small group, that's important. And I remember my whole life, from when I was real small, we called it card class. And then we had Sunday school. And then part of my call is I've given my life to just studying the Scriptures and teaching the Scripture, and it's one of my greatest joys. But it's important. And then lastly, I would share with you that gratitude is essential to keep the main thing the main thing. Notice what Paul says, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, that's interesting that he asks that, because he's encouraging him to grow, be rooted, be grounded, established, and continue to grow. And what is a good litmus test to indicate that things are going well between you and God? It's the degree of gratitude that's witnessed in our lives. I may be the only one in here that has times when I find myself getting a little grumpy or cranky. You heard about the lady that went to the doctor and he said, "Did you wake up grumpy this morning?" She said, "No, I just let him sleep." But we have those kind of days, don't we? We can be cranky. We can grumble, we can complain. And I mean, like the last few days, it's just, we've been sweating bullets. I mean, if you walk across your porch and go back in the house, you're going to be sweating. And it's easy to, you know, that's the reason, Lord, thank you for the air conditioning tonight. We always can choose to focus on what's wrong, or we can choose to focus on what's right. You know the story, the glass half full or half full, or half empty or half full. You're going to be positive or negative. And gratitude is such a big deal in the Christian life. And we need to encourage one another to stay positive and to be grateful. There's always something we can thank God for. You know, I heard of one guy, he was so positive that people couldn't even get him to say anything bad about the devil. They'd just say, well, he's persistent, isn't he? But we need to be more positive. More positive. Now, the truth is, everyone in this room tonight, it's closer to this, but we're all at least in the top 5% of the most wealthy people in the world. Really, probably in the top 2%. We're so blessed. I mean, we're not in the dark. We've got lights. We've got air conditioning. I don't know if you noticed those seats got a little padding in them. And when I came in, it looked like y'all got some pretty nice cars and trucks out there. And most of us look like we hadn't missed too many meals. Are you hearing me? We need to be grateful. And Paul's reminding these people, in the times they live in, it was pre-electricity days, pre-computer days, didn't even have a car, you know. Remember to abound in thanksgiving. It helps us keep the main thing the main thing. It protects us against complaining. Lord, forgive us for being negative. Forgive us for being complainers, murmurers, and grumblers. It protects us against forgetfulness. Because that's what can happen slowly and gradually if we start becoming negative. If we're not purposely reminding ourselves of the good things and the positive things and the things God is doing. I mean, every day we ought to thank God for forgiving our sins, for saving us. You know, the truth is, if God never did another good thing for us, what He's already accomplished in the cross has saved us for eternity. And yet, He daily loads us with good things, His benefits. We are so innumerably, abundantly blessed. It keeps us from being forgetful. Now, our flesh and the devil will work overtime to try to point out everything that's wrong, the faults, and everything that's out of place, and everything that's out of order. And I know there is a place for some of that. Because we want to improve, and you've got to recognize what needs to change. I understand that. But you know what I mean when I'm saying we're developing a negative mindset and a negative attitude. It does nothing but poison us, hurt us, and weaken us spiritually. Being grateful ensures we are living with a God focus in our life. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. So these four things tonight. Living faith works the same as saving faith. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. Christ-centered teaching is necessary for our growth in faith. And lastly, gratitude is essential in order for us to keep the main thing, the main thing. So, I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. And spend a couple of moments just thanking God for whatever comes to your mind. And if there's been some complaining and negative, put that at Jesus' feet right now. See it covered by His blood. Confess it. Leave it there. And begin to thank God. Lord, help us to walk by faith, not by sight. And I charge you tonight, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, Sean, I'm going to invite you up here, brother. And thank you for allowing me to do this to you. Yes. Would y'all welcome Sean Lombard?
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. All right. Great message. Let me add just one. So that was one scripture, right? Can I give you one more verse? I worked for many years with a deliverance minister in Birmingham, Alabama. My name's Sean Lombard, and his name was Bill French. And we saw a lot of people set free, and he'd been doing it many years before I came along. He had a life verse, John 14:12. Those that believe in me, the things that I do, you will do as well. And what does it also say? And greater works, because I go to the Father. I heard that verse constantly, because this was a man that believed it. And we constantly see people set free. And I had grown up in the church. I grew up Pentecostal. My dad's a Church of God pastor. My grandfather was a Church of God pastor. My great-grandfather on my mother's side was a Church of God pastor. So a lot of preachers and pastors and spirit-filled people. But sometimes when they talked about freedom and the demonic being expelled out of a situation, it was something they talk about from the 50s or 60s. And here for me, I was thrown into a lifestyle where it was happening all the time. And we're all to be walking in freedom, and as I said in the Toronto blessing, walking in love and giving it away. I love that. So the Lord started speaking to me more and more about deliverance in the last couple of years. Even though I walked and worked very closely with a deliverance minister, and by deliverance I mean casting out devils, demons, and I'm thankful that this house understands what that is. I didn't necessarily consider myself a deliverance minister. I'm a worship leader. I'm more prophetic type. But the Lord's wanting us all walking in authority. And what I've been trained in the last few years even, has been coming up in ways that I wouldn't have even expected it. My wife Allison is back there. We were at a church in West Texas, in Midland, Texas. And I felt led of the Lord to begin singing and declaring over a lady that was about right there in the group. And I start singing over her. Her name's Nora. I can see her now. And I start singing justice. Justice, mighty, mighty justice. So I start singing that over her. And there's a worship leader that's sitting in front of her. And I'm not singing to the worship leader, but the worship leader catches that justice word. He starts laughing uncontrollably. And then by the end of the meeting, he's sobbing uncontrollably. He's weeping, and the Lord is delivering him of something. I'm not even sure now what was going on, but I know deliverance when I see it. And then it started happening in the same small meeting, some other people started getting deliverance. And the pastor's mother, who's a precious saint of God and a prayer warrior, and she's a deliverance minister herself, she starts getting free of something. She even needs a wastebasket, y'all. Because sometimes when stuff is coming out of you that's not supposed to be there, it's not always pretty. But it's good. And it's really good for you to get rid of whatever you're carrying that's not of God. The way I've been trained, you set them down and you say, what's going on? And let's pray and let's go through some prayers. And no, I just started singing and deliverance started breaking out. So what the Lord's been showing me is when we just move in His authority in our gifts and callings, that the kingdom of God comes. Jesus said, those that believe, the things that I do, you will do also. And I can hear Bill French's voice when I even say that, because he said that verse over and over and over. And he would say, now that's the red letter, right? He would say, who is he speaking to? You. We think it's just for the people on the platform. He's speaking to everybody in here that's a blood-bought child of God. You have authority that you're supposed to be walking in. The things that he did, we will do as well. And greater things. That's the part that blows my mind. I've seen demons come out of people. We've seen people healed. We saw somebody. There's a testimony of healing we've seen just in the last 6 months. We prayed with a doctor down in the Florida panhandle that had stage 4 lung cancer. And a lot of other people were praying too. But God totally healed that man. God is still in the healing business. Healing, deliverance. Now, I've not walked on water yet. And I've not seen somebody raised from the dead, and maybe you have. But there's so much that Jesus did. And then he says greater things. Greater things. And sometimes it might look very strange to us in the things he even asked us to do. There were situations, what would he spit in the mud and wipe it on somebody's eye? Now, the Lord's not asking me to do that yet. But what if he does ask you to do something that's out of your comfort zone, but you know the Lord's saying to do it? And then what if you do it? And what if God shows up? That's what I'm after. Can we walk in his authority in the earth? I'll say one more thing. It can be dangerous to ask a preacher to get up and talk for 5 minutes. I'm a singer, I'm a preacher. I come from a lot of preachers, so I just jump into it pretty easily. But I dream a lot. And let me encourage you in your dreams. God is speaking in dreams right now like never before. There's so many people that are dreaming. And I would encourage you as well, if you know that God speaks to you a lot in dreams, you need to write those things down. Write down what God is speaking to you. I journal a lot, even what God is speaking to me. And I know it helps me. I'll go back and look at it, and I'll think to myself, did I dream that? Yeah, I dreamt that. You'll forget these things that the Lord is speaking. I had a dream just in the last week that I was in a meeting much like this. And long story short, it's a group of people, and it's a prominent prophetic person, prophetic leader, prophet, that starts off, and they're playing around with a pistol. And they're holding it up, and they'll look at it, and then they pretend like they're going to fire at one another, and they're passing this pistol around. And then towards the end of the dream, they hand it to somebody else that I knew that had been a youth pastor. And I wake up, and I'm meditating on that, because God speaks. Sometimes in my dreams, it's very literal. But then other times, it's symbolic. So this is a symbolic dream. A handgun, for most of us, is going to speak of authority. And it just so happened to be a pistol that resembled a pistol that I inherited from one of my grandfathers. And I'm thinking about this as I wake up, and I'm thinking they were just haphazardly playing around with this weapon. And I'm thinking, and what drops in my spirit is, we've got to stop playing around with our authority. So many of us as believers, you've been given authority. And you need to make declarations. When things come up in your life, you need to say, that's not going to stand in the name of the Lord. You need to get with God, and you need to fight some things out and stand in authority. And don't play around with it. And we're living in an hour. We can no longer just pass a gun around and just point at it, look at it, and admire it, we each need to be carrying that spiritual authority and know when we've got to use it. It's representative of spiritual authority. Now, if I'd had the dream and I was Paul or John, what would it have been? A sword. But in modern day, it's a revolver. You might have dreams with swords too, or maybe you love swords. But I'm just saying, that's just a brief thing coming back around to what I said. John 14:12, the things that I do, you will do also, and greater works. Greater works. And say that with me, greater works. And why don't you pray this with me? I'm going to pray, but Lord, lead us in this region to walk out gifts and callings in our lives and do the things that you did and greater works. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Oh, pray over. I'm sorry. Thank you. I was going to say this too. Sometimes when you pray, you might see me with my eyes open. I was spending a lot of time with deliverance, so we learned early when you're praying for people that are struggling, you keep your eyes open because they might, you might get a left hook all of a sudden. But it's just natural to me now. I'm trying not to be disrespectful, but a lot of times I'm just that way. It was the way I was trained. We're excited to be here in your community, and we really enjoy the worship and the preaching of the word. That is so instrumental. And that's one of the things, too, Bill French would commend you, because the years I spent with him, we'd have people show up from Timbuktu needing deliverance from some pretty heavy stuff. And we'd have people involved in witchcraft and Satanism and who knows what. And he'd say, you need to just come sit under anointed preaching. He saw that as a part of growing and a part of them walking in their freedom was just sitting under anointed preaching. It does something to you. It's a powerful thing. And Paul talked about it, I think, the foolishness of preaching. So thank you for the word that's going forth and the worship, the ministry. We've really been blessed by that here. So let me bless you as you go out and walk in the things of Jesus, and don't be afraid to just do it. If somebody in your community, your family is struggling with something, just grab a hold of their hand in the moment, if they'll let you, and say, hey, can I pray for you for that? You'd be surprised what you might see. So, Lord, bless this house. We're grateful for what you're doing in this part of the country. We're grateful, Jesus, for the Spirit of the Lord that you've sent here, that is resting here, the grace and the power of the Spirit of God. And I just pray for more of it. And I was praying this morning. I'd say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, to this region. Come, Holy Spirit. Stir up the hearts of people. Let there be a hunger and a passion for more of the Lord in this region. I bless this family of believers as they go out. And Lord, let your strength and your love and your power be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.